Welcome to Menschen in Porträt. Today's guest is one of the most famous and greatest musicians in the world, cellist Mr. Luka Zulic.
Oh, danke sehr.
Welcome.
Thank you for such an introduction.
When did you first feel the passion and the mission to make music?
I started playing cello when I was only 5 years old. So I come from a family of musicians, and it was sort of given to me since I was too young to remember to say no, you know. So by the time I learned how to say no, it was already too late. So, but I'm so grateful and happy I stick to it, and that I can be a musician in my life and actually do this for a living. It's a blessing in today's world.
Can you remember the day or the time when you decided that this will be your profession for your life?
It was sort of gradual, you know. It starts as a playing, you know, playful when you are a kid. But with time, it becomes more serious. You go to different competitions. You are motivated. You know, you have ups and downs. There is always, of course, you know, hard moments, but with time, you know, I already invested so much energy and time and practice and sacrifice that at certain point I realized it would be a pity not to pursue it all the way, because you already invest so much energy into it. So the key moment, I think, was when I became a sort of early teen years, when I really became obsessed with it. So in those crucial years, usually you give up completely or you become obsessed with what you're doing. And luckily, I became obsessed and possessed.
What was the biggest challenge when you started to perform for a living?
Well, being a classical musician, a cellist, is not easy. It's a very hard way to the top, if you want to rock and roll, as the song goes. But the hardest was just to master the instrument. This is what I was most focused about, and I went to different, you know, competitions, practicing hard. I was lucky. I was surrounded with other young musicians who are also obsessed and in love. So it was kind of growing up very isolated, you know, which was a good thing, because then you could focus completely on becoming the best possible cellist player. And one of the persons who was like me was Stepan Hauser, who I met also when I was very young, and we were both crazy obsessed with cello. And at certain point in our life, we decided to join forces, and everything just exploded.
We'll talk about this a little bit later. What was your first success with the cello, which touched your heart and motivated to go on?
It was all these small steps, you know. My father is also a cellist, so when I was already quite young, I can play better than my dad. So that was a little bit motivating for me. But later on, you know, as I started growing up and became more mature and practiced more and more, you know, all these little wins gave me the confidence and courage to go on. And you know, especially the moments on stage where you really felt free and you could express yourself completely, those really unique little wins helped me stay on my path and being focused and motivated even more.
You started at 5?
Yes.
How many hours a day did you practice?
You start, like I said, playfully, you know, step by step. But as the time progressed, as I became more obsessed with it, you know, when I was a student, I used to practice 5, 6, 7 hours a day. It was normal. It's a very intense, if you want to, it's a very hard instrument, you know, any instrument. If you want to learn to play it on a really high level, you have to dedicate a lot of time. So
You mentioned competitions. At which age was your first competition?
I think I was 7 or 8 years old when I went to my first competition, and then you next one, next one. I don't like really competitions in music, in classical music. They can be a double-edged sword, you know. But it's anyway, it's a good motivating thing for you to practice and to learn. But in the end, you try not to take them too serious. And at certain point, you also have to find your own voice and your own creativity, and your which happened later through to cellos and now writing my own music. You have to. You can lose the passion for music if you are too competitive, and it's not really healthy. So, a good balance, you know.
When and how came the idea to found Two Cellos?
It came spontaneously. We were both studying in London and met in London and started thinking what we could do. You know, it was sort of a rebellious thing. We wanted to make a revolution with cello, show it, all the possibilities of cello, show to young people what you can do with the cello. And in a way, we had enough of this, you know, studying and, you know, going so slowly our careers, because in classical music it's different, you know. You need to know that person, you need to know that conductor, director to give you opportunity. And we said, let's take things into our own hands. And we were lucky we started when YouTube was fairly a new platform. And we were sort of pioneers, one of the first musicians to go viral on YouTube, which back in the day had much more weight than these days. And YouTube was fairly new, like I said, and now it's much more divided between also different social media platforms. And but so sort of different things aligned with us, also our vision, our passion, our crazy young energy, and the rest was history.
One of my friends is a cellist teacher, and she told me that 10 years ago, young people were not interested in cello. But then Two Cellos came, and many young people became interested in this.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the best things, I think, that you can receive, you know, this kind of let's say compliment. But it's really one of the greatest thing that we did was that we motivated and gave sort of hope and maybe courage,
inspiration
to young musicians.
You mentioned YouTube. When I remember correctly, Smooth Criminal was one your first.
Yeah,
first?
It was our first video and went viral straight away. And and then we had to come up with more songs.
Why Smooth Criminal? Why did you choose this song?
It was just, you know, sort of also in this way many stars aligned, because I think Michael Jackson just passed away that year. He was supposed to do the This Is It show in London O2 Arena. It was supposed to be a huge celebration. And he passed away, and we were in London at that time. And then we chose the Smooth Criminal because we thought it's gonna rock really hard on cello. So, you know, so many things aligned in this, you know, crazy universe that this big bang happened with us.
So, Smooth Criminal YouTube was a breakthrough for Two Cellos. What was the next step?
Next step was just that's when the real work actually began. We needed to come up with another more arrangements, more songs. We signed to a record deal with Sony, started making albums. We needed to bring this project alive in front of the audience, create a show, you know. We started touring with Elton John, which was an amazing experience. For 3 years, we traveled the world, and we started also opening his shows in front of a lot of people. So this gave us also a big exposure. And in between those tours, we would have our own tours, you know, keep making videos, you know. it was a very intense period. You know, I sometimes wasn't at home for 6 months. We were on the road. We had like 200 flights per year. You know, it was really crazy. I still have my Lufthansa senator from those times, you know, still living on the past glory with Lufthansa. Thank you.
So you reached the top of stardom with two cellos, and then you decided to go back to the roots, and you were the first cellist ever who took Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Yeah,
arranged for cello.
It's the first arrangement of the whole Four Seasons in history. I think also my label checked this, and I played it live many times, all Four Seasons, which I loved the Vivaldi Four Seasons since I was a little boy. I used to listen to it in the car. My parents had a cassette.
Oh, cassette.
You know? And I always wanted to play it on cello. And it was a very demanding thing to do, technically and musically, because, you know, I have a joke that playing Vivaldi Four Seasons on the cello feels like playing football in Panzer, in ski boots, you know.
Okay.
It's sort of to explain how it feels.
Yeah.
And it was a great album, was very successful, and still people love this arrangement. I still played live and some segments, but later I wanted really to express myself to the fullest, and that's when I decided to start writing my own music, because I wasn't anymore so much interesting in impressing people with my skills, with my playing. Of course, I still practice, I want to play good, but this is not, wasn't anymore in my heart what I really wanted to do. So I started composing and writing my own music. And
this is how life came to life.
Yes, this is.
Yeah. When did you decide to make your own album with as a composer and an arranger?
This idea came spontaneously in my head already when I was touring. Our last tours, few tours with two cellos, I started writing, composing, and I did all the arrangements for the orchestra as well. So it was a wonderful experience, a wonderful learning experience for me, and this is what I want to pursue now in the future, because you can do this for the rest of your life. You can always search for something new to create. And that's the beautiful thing about creating music.
It's an amazing album. I really, really like
it. Thank you so much. Is
there a special message in the title, Life?
Life, the album started coming to life spontaneously, you know. And when I had all the titles on the album, when I sit down and saw, you know, Anima is the soul, Blue Heart, Pain, Dreamer, Blossom, Phoenix, Shine, Eternal, all these titles, and there is a track called Life on the album as well. All these tracks had one thing in common, which is life, the struggles of life, the joy of life, the beauty, the sadness, the sorrow, happiness, all this. What I was feeling inside, I wanted to bring out to the world. So that's why it's called Life. And yeah, we'll see what the second one will be called.
The next is already in progress?
Yeah, I'm already writing new music, but I'm still working on it, you know. This concept came out spontaneously through music. So I want to also that it comes this way naturally in the second album.
Over your entire career, was there any particular special moment when you say this was had the biggest impact in your life?
Biggest in musical career? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the two cellos period had I look at it as a big blessing in my life. I was able to experience so much, and it also gave me, you know, courage and freedom in a way to do this what I'm doing now, you know, to take the courage, have the courage to write my own music. And it might be a longer way, you know, if you look at it only commercially, but it's something what I really fulfills me, and all my past experiences are now the result is here, you know.
We have many young people watching our interviews. What is your most important message for young people who are searching for their success and for their own way to get a, to live a fulfillment in their lives?
You need to have, I think, really a courage to follow your vision, your idea, and you always have to find this balance, I think, between being brave and self-confident, but also at the time, at the same time, self-critical, trying to be objective with what your feelings are, what you want to express, but also your skills and on what you have to work on, what where you can improve, and finding this balance between self-criticism and self-confidence is the key, I think, in life in general.
When people watch you on stage or on YouTube or in television, they see success, see fantastic fans who are loving your music and adoring you. What are the magic moments by heart for you?
Being on stage, playing live, nothing can replace the feeling that at the end of the concert you look in the eyes of your audience and you can see joy. You know, that they go home with something they will cherish, and I always give 120% on stage. So, you know, this is for me always, you know, you also have this responsibility towards the people who come to see you, who buy the ticket, you know, it's, but the feeling that you get back, the energy, the, you know, the passion, the love that you get from your audience, these are the moments that I try to live for.
Doing an own album on CD especially is a piece of history, is something which remains for the future. If a young people, if a young person founds this CD, for example, in 100 years and would ask who was Lukas Sulic, what was so special about him, what should we answer?
I don't know if someone will remember it. But I wouldn't, I just want them to listen to the music if there will be a CD player somewhere and to be touched by the music. That's all I, you know, care about, to touch people's heart with my music.